Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia. Today's conversation explores performance, purpose, discipline, and what it truly means to live a successful life. We are now living in a world that constantly encourages us to do more, to achieve more, and push harder. And many people find themselves chasing goals whilst feeling increasingly exhausted or maybe disconnected or even unfulfilled. Success may look impressive from the outside, yet internally, many high achievers are struggling with burnout, stress, and the pressure of constantly performing. Perhaps the question is not simply how to achieve more, but how to perform at a high level whilst maintaining our well-being, relationships, health and sense of purpose. Today's guest has dedicated his work to helping people navigate that balance. Tuma Vakonin is a mindset and performance coach, TEDx speaker, and the founder of Tuma Vakonin Coaching. He works with high achievers, entrepreneurs, and purpose-driven individuals to optimize performance, strengthen mindset, and create sustainable success without losing themselves in the process. Tuma, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Belinda. I'm very excited for our time together and this discussion. That introduction was great.
Thank you. Now, Tuma, let's start with your journey. What first led you into performance and mindset coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose back in my early days when I was still living in Finland, I'm living right now here in South Pacific on the island of Tahiti, but I was always driven by performance. I was always kind of competing and doing sports and playing basketball and football, and there was no real other way about it. And then some years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, I looked at I took a stock of my whole life and what I've done in my adult life. And everything that I've always done has always been about coaching, about guiding, being a teacher, being an instructor. So I've always been in different positions, but the underlying through line, if you will, it's always been helping people in some shape or form. It's just the label has changed, I suppose. And in the reason, I would say 3 to 4 years, I really found home in this performance and mindset space. I was doing some other things as well, but always kind of in the coaching and guiding space. So I've always been a performer. I've always been a competitor. And now really what as you mentioned in the introduction as well, is that how can we do it sustainably? How can we do it without burnout? How can we do it with fulfillment and purpose? And that's where coaching and my work comes into play.
And what's really interesting about what you've just said is that whilst the roles and titles may have changed throughout your life, the underlying purpose has remained the same, which is lovely. And it sounds as though helping people has always been at the heart of what you do, whether through your sports or teaching or coaching or the mindset work that you do. And I think that's a powerful reminder that sometimes our true purpose reveals itself not through one specific career, but through the common thread running throughout our lives and our experiences. So what does high performance actually mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've been asked that a few times before, and I thought about it myself as well. And if you look at it from the sort of outside perspective or the media perspective, it's very sort of linear in a way. It's very sort of single-minded in a sense. We look at, you know, success or high performance in one medium, whereas look at it more in a more holistically. You might be really performing in a high level at work, but then maybe there's something lacking back home or in your private life or in your relationships and so on and so forth. So basically, for me, the highest performers that I look up to, the mentors that I have in my life, they are not just either financially or career-wise performing at high levels or doing great things. They've got the whole package. I admire their family life, what they achieved career-wise or work-wise, but also what they do in their private lives and their their own expeditions and adventures, what they pursue, and it's holistically kind of the whole package, if you will. So that's, those are the kind of high performers that I look up to, and I want to, those are the sort of terms that I want to live up to myself and instill into my own family and to myself. So that's high performance. It's as I mentioned, a lot of people look at it sort of in a single medium, whereas for me it's more holistic, more comprehensive when it comes to life and work itself.
And I really like that perspective, because it moves us away from measuring success by a single metric. I think it reminds us that we're whole human beings, not just job titles or achievements. And the people who inspire us most are often those who have found a way to pursue excellence whilst also nurturing their relationships and their well-being. And it's nice to hear that that sense of purpose has a balance. But many people chase success, as you know. But why do so many people still feel unhappy, even when that balance is there and when they've achieved it all?
Yeah, well, it's a multi-layered question, obviously, and there's I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all
yes.
an answer to that. Yet, I think one of the things that I was, and what I actually had a discussion with my mentor years and years ago already, is that, and actually he told me, we had a cup of coffee, and there's a little story here, but we were talking about goals, we were talking about goal setting, and he just mentioned to me, like, hey, Tuomo, just whenever you set goals, and whenever you chase your dreams and your pursuits, make sure that they're yours. Don't chase somebody else's goals. Make sure the goals are your goals. And it was a really short sentence, but it really kind of struck a chord for me. And when we set goals and we chase quote unquote success or performance or what have you, it's oftentimes why we feel unfulfilled and we feel empty, especially if we have that achievement. Because afterwards is maybe, was that my goal? Was I chasing somebody else's goals? Was that the fame and the success that maybe the media or the environment or my parents, if you will, or my coworkers gave me? Or where's that? So we're chasing somebody else's goals and somebody else's meaning of success, if you will. And it really takes that internal perspective, internal perception to be able to actually set goals that are your goals. Yeah, so I think that, you know, it takes a while, and it's really easy, especially in this day and age, to get caught up in the media and especially the social media, and like, it doesn't take much to like set a goal, but if you really want to set your goals and be making sure that it is your story of success, it takes a little bit more internal perspective. It takes a little bit more digging and maybe journaling or like really finding out what you actually want. And when you go down that way, actually you start stripping away a lot more instead of adding. And I think that's one of the principles that I always have for coaching and life and success in itself, that it's a lot more simpler than a lot of people think. But simple doesn't always mean easy. Simplicity is really, really powerful performance enhancer, if you will. So I think simple is beautiful in a sense, but it's also very powerful at the same time.
That's a really powerful insight, because so many people spend years climbing a ladder and only to realize it was leaning against the wrong wall, I would say. And when our goals are driven by external expectations rather than our own values, and I love that you shared that, because it's a totally different perspective to look at things. Even achievement can feel surprisingly empty. And that is such a valuable point. And I think what you're highlighting is the importance of that self-awareness, understanding that success genuinely means what it means to you, rather than simply inheriting someone else's definition of it. So thank you for sharing that. Now, you've spoken about lifestyle being more important than happiness. So what do you actually mean by that? Because to be honest with you, I've not heard that before, and it'd be wonderful for you to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very honest. That was the title of my TEDx talk. I think probably 7-8 years ago, and it is a kind of catchy title, but I really meant it, and I really mean it. in a sense that, well, first of all, I mean, there's a lot there, but happiness is not something that I'm personally after. Happiness is more, to me, is more something goes on the same bucket as motivation. There's a day that we're motivated, there's a day that we're happy, and then the next day that we're not happy. And it's emotion that goes up and down naturally, and it fluctuates, there's ebbs and flows. So I don't really trust happiness. I'm not really after it, same as the motivation. Yeah. Whereas what I'm really after is creating the circumstances, creating the environments and habits and actions that create then happiness, that bring motivation. I'm putting the motivation and happiness in the same bucket. But happiness is really something that is a byproduct of our actions, and in this case, lifestyle. Lifestyle is a big thing. It encompasses everything, who we surround ourselves with, what are the activities that we do in our work, and so on and so forth, how we create the life around us. As in, so then if I look at it that way, and it was a quote from a Buddhist monk that really hit home for me back in those days, and I actually quoted that in the TEDx talk itself, that create a lifestyle where happiness is a byproduct. And that's really been like a through line in my own life for the longest time. So that's in a nutshell. Obviously, there's a lot more there, but that's in a nutshell what I mean with that.
No, and that's wonderful that you've shared that, because I think it's a fascinating way to look at it, because so many people, including myself, we're taught to chase happiness as though it's a destination. And what you're suggesting is that happiness isn't something we pursue directly, but something that naturally emerges from the choices we make and the habits we build and the environment we create around ourselves, if we're in control of that. And I think that's a much more sustainable and compassionate approach to well-being. So do you think then, because I know that you spoke about motivation, do you think it's overrated?
Yes and no. I would say it's overrated in a sense. Well, maybe a slightly, maybe we talk about it too much instead of what leads to motivation. Again, like it's not necessarily like happiness, as you mentioned, destination or motivation is the destination. It's kind of like a pit stop, if you will. Yeah. It's necessary. Motivation is a driver for sure. We need it. It gets us out of bed. It gets us going. It's a driver. It moves us, as in the dopamine, I guess, is underneath that. Someone like Andrew Huberman talks a lot about that, and I've learned a lot from his podcast about that. But motivation to me, for example, I'll give you a straight example. Like, there's a lot of mornings that I don't, quote unquote, feel motivated, either get to work or go for my exercise or what have you. But then I focus on the steps. I focus on the creation of that motivation. How can I create that motivation if I don't have it? And then all of a sudden, I'm out of the bed. I'm actually getting to work and doing the things that needs to be done without the motivation in place. So it's not a precursor, if you will. It's something that we can create almost at will if we have the right habits and the right circumstances and environment and support around us. And I think that's really also a powerful idea, that focus on the process, focus on the things that we need to do instead of the emotion that's again a byproduct that comes after.
I love that, and I've loved that you've shared that in such a clear an understandable way, because it's a really valuable distinction, as we all know, because many people are waiting to feel motivated before they take action. So that's wonderful that you've shared that. Thank you so much, Tomo, for your amazing insights. We're going to take a short commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today I'm joined by mindset and performance coach, TEDx speaker, and the founder of Tuma Vuokonen Coaching. Welcome back, Tuma.
Thank you so much.
Now, Tuma, what's the difference between motivation and discipline? Because earlier on we were talking about motivation, but there is a huge difference, I think, between motivation and discipline. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to make it very concise and clear, if you will, motivation is more of an emotion. It's more of a feeling, whereas discipline to me is more of an act. It's more something that we do, maybe without being motivated or without being inspired in that sense. So yes, the discipline is sometimes a little energetically heavy, especially if the motivation is not there and we have to go and get to do things. But that's also life sometimes. We're not always, the motivation is not always there, as we just discussed, but discipline can be there. Yet I think we also, that's why I'm saying that, that's what I mentioned before, that we need the motivation, because when we are motivated, we don't really need the discipline, because the discipline is energetically heavy. So if we always do things without being motivated, then we maybe we lack purpose, we lack other things, and that's where we are using a lot of our resources, and we start depleting them very quickly if we only rely on discipline. So it's not just that, like, only be disciplined and never need the emotions. They're extremely important, yet that's the kind of differentiation that I see between the two.
Yes, and again, a very important point, because that's a really balanced perspective, because discipline and motivation are often presented as opposites, when in reality they do work together, and discipline can keep us moving when motivation fades. But if we're relying solely on willpower all the time, I think it's easy to become exhausted and disconnected from, as you said, our purpose. And what I'm hearing is, again, that sustainable success comes from creating a life where both discipline and genuine inspiration have a place with each other, alongside each other. With everything that you shared, and going back to what you were saying about high performance and achievers, why are so many people, especially so many high achievers, burning out? Is it because that balance isn't there?
I think that's very much an individual case by case. Yes, we can maybe draw some overarching principles, but like that, I think that's why, again, sort of having the support, people that support you, that you can really discuss about it, because we can't give one size fits all answer to this. But yeah. what I always think about burnout is that, let's say that we have the same company, two people doing the kind of very similar jobs, similar hours, right? So basically the same kind of circumstances, and yet one can be thriving and another one can be burning out, you know, burning the candle from both ends, if you will. So why is that? So if you think of it from that perspective, it's not really the work itself or the workload as such that leads to burnout. It must be something else, right? So what are those circumstances? What is it? Maybe other person then finds more purpose, more meaning from the work itself, be more intrinsically driven, if you will, and that way is able to handle the workload, if you will. And then the other factors are, which I'm a big fan of, obviously, is the recovery principles. What do you do outside of the work hours? How what is your family life, as we mentioned before? What kind of activities and friendships you have outside of work, that how do you recharge from the workload? So it's not just that the work itself is burning you out. Most of the time, I would say it's actually the other things outside of the work that leads to the burnout instead of the work itself. Yes, and of course there can be that if you're working 16 hours every day, then you know that's obviously too much. But in a nutshell, if you don't just look at only the work itself, if you look at holistically everything around it, then we have a better picture to paint, and then we can draw conclusions from there and start to sort of finding results and answers to the issue that we have at hand.
And that's a really thought-provoking way of looking at burnout, because we often assume it's purely about workload, don't we? And yet, as you've said, two people can face very similar demands and have completely different experiences. But 100%. What advice would you give to someone who is very ambitious and, you know, they have that well-being imbalance, but a lot of people don't believe that ambition and well-being can genuinely coexist? What's your thoughts on it?
I think they can, but not at the same time, in a sense. And what I mean, first of all, if you really think about it, there are very few people that are actually ambitious. A lot of people are driven, but ambition is a step higher. It's like I genuinely haven't found a lot of people that say that they are actually ambitious about what they do. They might be driven, they might be goal driven, they might want to do great things, but ambition is kind of a step further from there. Yet if we look at, like you mentioned the word ambition, and I like it as well, but when we are ambitious, when we are pushing hard or being quote unquote high performers, I must say that is not always a healthy state to be. But what I mean by that, they can coexist, but not at the same time, that if you think about, like, for example, one day of 24 hours or let's say the waking hours, let's say 16 hours, what have you, you might be driving really hard, or you might be working for 6 to 8 hours, whatever that is. But what do you do after that? That's when you have to recharge, as I mentioned, those recovery principles. Mm-hmm. And that's where the well-being aspect comes into play. And actually, the highest performers, the really high performers, most of them, I don't know many that are actually working more than 8 hours a day. A lot of them actually work only 4 to 5 hours per day. And then they have different things that they do, or they don't work extremely hard many, many hours. They maybe work extremely hard for 2 to 4 hours per day. And then the rest of the day is kind of on idle mode. They do other things that don't require that much willpower, that much energetic capacity, if you will. And that's where you find the well-being, the quote unquote, lack of a better word, balance, where that comes into play, or the more sort of sustainable high performance, where you're able to separate the well-being and the ambition from each other, but they're still coexisting in the same day, on the same week, if you will.
No, thank you for that. And that's a really refreshing perspective, because We often glorify being busy and assume that working longer hours automatically leads to greater success. And what you've described there is something quite different. And that high performance isn't just about intensity. It's also about recovery and the ability to switch off.
No, actually, what I can add to that is the idea of executive athlete, and that's not really my words. There's books written about that, but the idea is we approach our work, our career, more from sort of athletic performance side of things, where the professional athletes, for example, when they work, when they train extremely hard, but not many hours per day. They're not training for 8 hours per day. They might train for 2 to 4 hours per day, yet the rest of the day is rest and relaxation and recovery. And I understand that that doesn't, we can't take that principle exactly as it is into our work lives, because many of us have to work for 6 to 8 hours or 10 hours. But as an idea that when you work, you're extremely focused, you do great work for a few hours, and then you allow yourself to recover and recharge those batteries, even during one day, is, I think, extremely important.
Absolutely. That's a brilliant analogy, because athletes understand that recovery isn't a reward for hard work. It's a part of performance itself. And I love that you've shared that. Thank you, Thuma, for sharing with such valuable insight. We're going to take another short commercial break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today we're continuing our conversation with the wonderful Thuma Varkonin. Good to have you back, Thuma.
Thank you. Excited to continue our conversation.
So, Thuma, I know this is a personal situation that sadly happened to you, but what did your torn ligament teach you about performance and resilience?
Yeah, thank you for asking for that. It happened about a month and a half ago now. And there's already a lot of lessons that I've drawn from that. But when it comes to, I suppose, resilience and performance, but more about resilience, definitely I learned that the human body is extremely resilient. And sometimes, or oftentimes, I would say, it's actually more resilient than our minds. And the story goes like I had an echocardiography, and I was actually looking on the screen when it happened, or just a few days after, and the ligament was like almost completely cut in half.
Oh,
and I saw the face of the doctor, and he was like, uh-oh, that doesn't look good. And I was like, really? And I didn't have that much pain either, but when I looked at the picture, it really did not look good, to be very honest. And then I think it was 4 weeks or 5 weeks after. 5 weeks after I went, no, 4 weeks after I went for, and we took another echocardiography again, and I was able to see how well the ligament was healed. Like the cut wasn't there, and I was like, "Wow, the human body is really truly an amazing piece of machinery, in a sense, mm-hmm. lack of a better word. And it just reminded me how resilient the human body is, and that we need to be able to work with it. And I think the mind is obviously part of it and allows the healing process to take place faster, or in some case slower, if you will. But that's definitely the one thing. And I would say another thing that I also wrote about a little bit is gratitude. And what I mean by gratitude in this case is that you know, you don't really often appreciate the things that we get to do until that thing, if it's work or experiences or, you know, sports or what have you, until they get taken away. Yeah. When that thing gets taken away from you, that is a good measure of how much you actually want it, or how much you need it, or if it's something that you might be passionate about as well. But the through line there is to be grateful and appreciate the life and the things that we have been able to create for ourselves, because we just never know when it all or can be taken away from us. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget oftentimes, that yes. how in many ways lucky we are to be able to do the things that we get to do.
And that's such a valuable insight, because it's often only when something is taken away, and I'm sorry you had to experience that, but when it's taken away, that we truly recognize, as you said, its importance. And we're in an environment, communities, society, where it's constantly encouraging us to focus on what's next. We can easily overlook what we already have, as you said, and what you're highlighting is the power of gratitude, not as a cliche, but as a genuine appreciation for the people, the opportunities and experiences that enrich our lives every day. But you said that it almost healed. What mindset shifts help people recover from setbacks like the one that you experience more effectively? I know you spoke about gratitude, but what would you advise someone to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's also quite personal, because what works for me or for quote unquote high achievers or performers might not work for everyone. But for me personally, what I can share, and this is some of my coaching principles as well at the same time, is one of them is definitely growth mindset. And that, again, a cliche, but it really, when you understand that instead of chasing a destination, you're looking at the growth, like how can I grow from this experience? I'm looking at the growth of every day, like, okay, now I'm here, the ligament is completely gone, for example, in this case, what can I do today or this week to get to the next step instead of to the destination? How can I grow? How can I, when do I get to start rehabilitation, for example? Those kind of like little tiny small steps that are more of that growth, instead of only thinking about the end destination, if you will, when everything is healed. And it's actually not fully healed even today. It still takes maybe another month or so to be 100% back. But it's more of a process focused approach, which is the second aspect that I look at. So first is the growth. Second one is, it goes hand in hand with this growth mindset, is be process focused instead of destination attached, if you will. And looking at those everyday steps that we can do, and focus on that, what is in front of you right now. Stay where your feet are is one of the kind of mantras that I have for myself as well. And I would say maybe the third thing that's really interesting is being curious. What if? Like, what if I can heal from this in 4 weeks instead of 8 weeks, for example? Being curious about what if, instead of looking at, oh, what if things go bad? What if they can go really well? What if I can heal from this? What if? Being curious is more of like a playful way of looking at it, instead of being attached to a destination. So I would say those three things comes to mind right now, and they're what a lot of the high achievers and performers kind of share in common as well.
absolutely. And I think there's so much wisdom in what you're saying, because when we're facing challenges, it's easy to become fixated on how far we still have to go. And what you've described is a shift towards growth. I love that. The curiosity, the focusing on the next step rather than the entire journey. And I think that's particularly relevant for mental and emotional well-being, because progress is often built through small consistency and consistent actions rather than the dramatic breakthroughs. So what do you, the most fulfilled high performers, do differently? Is it all about switching those words to more positive and curious ones?
No, I mean, those are part of it. They're, I would say, more of the internal game. You know, when we're going through struggles and obstacles. But I think what I see for myself and for the other achievers, if you will, it's not just the internal. Of course, the external needs to be there as well. And one of the things, as I mentioned right in the beginning of our conversation, is relationships, healthy relationships, environmental well-being as well, that being able to stay in an environment that are driven and healthy and sustainable in many ways. Intrinsically driven, that's something that I think we touched up on a few times in this conversation already, but those are definitely what leads to fulfillment in my case and others as well. And then definitely, as I mentioned, I would say that they are chasing their own goals instead of other people's version of success, if you will. So there's definitely a lot there, but I would say those are some of the principles for sure.
And that's such an important point, because personal growth doesn't happen in isolation. And whilst mindset and resilience matters, the quality of our relationships, as you said, the environment, and chasing our own goals rather than somebody else's is profound, really. And finally, Tuomo, if there was one message you'd like our listeners to take away about success, performance, and living well, what would that be?
There's a lot that comes to mind, but I think one of the sort of, if I had to sum it up in one sentence or in two sentences, I would probably say that create your own version of success with your own terms and find joy while doing it. I think joy is extremely powerful. Enjoying truly what we're doing and how we're doing it is, I haven't talked about it that today, but that's extremely powerful as well. So creating your own version of success and finding joy within it, that's what I would say.
And that's a beautiful note to end the show. Tuomo, thank you so much for joining us today. I think one of the most important messages from this conversation is that success should never come at the expense of our health, relationships, well-being, or sense of self. And where so many people often celebrate constant achievement, perhaps true success is learning how to pursue excellence while staying connected to what matters most. Thank you for sharing your insights, your experiences, and wisdom with us today. Tuomo, if our listeners wish to connect with you, where can they find you?
The best place socially is LinkedIn. That's where I produce a lot of my content. So LinkedIn, just look up for my name and coaching, and I'll be right there.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia. And to close today's episode, I've chosen a part of the song Home by Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
pumpkin pie.